You're listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I'm your host, Doug DeFeller, and we're going to be talking about coaching the management team today. But hold on, we'll get to that in just a minute. If you're listening to this show live, then obviously you're on octalkradio.net. Isn't internet radio wonderful? Hey, I love it. If you're listening to our podcast, then why weren't you listening to us live? No, you probably had something busy, important to do. But hey, if you're listening to our podcast, then thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or possibly our Podbean site. And be sure to check out our archives for other great shows that you might have missed. We keep them up there for a long time. They're valid for a long time, and there's some fascinating resource material there for you to take a look at. Well, let's talk about the coaching perspective and coaching the management team. It's a little difficult to get back into it today. I'm still suffering from that long 4th of July week. We used to have a 4th of July weekend, you know. It would be on a Monday or a Friday. We'd take an extra day. We'd get 3 days, maybe sneak in four. But, hey, with the 4th of July in the middle of the week, pretty much shut down everything for the whole darn week. Really strange kind of thing. And, hey, we're having strange weather here in Southern California today in Orange County. It's feels like thunder showers about to happen, which we don't get in this part of the country. But what does that have to do with coaching the management team? Well, coaching the management team is about as predictable as the weather in other parts of the country. And you know what? Coaching the management team is not the same as team building. So what I would like to share with you today is sort of my definition of what coaching the management team is and the process that we here at the Coaching Perspective use and have been using for a number of years successfully with our clients. This is not to say it's the only way to do it. It's a way that we've been doing it. We've been constantly improving on the system and finding that we are getting good results out of it. So it might be something that would have some value to you. But, you know, I want to caution here. Coaching is a personal service. It's personal in that if I start coaching someone else can't suddenly step in and replace me with the same background and knowledge that I have of the client if we're in the middle of a coaching engagement. From the same point of view, if the client in a business environment gets replaced with somebody else in the same position, you can't just keep coaching as if there was no change. So coaching is a very personal service kind of thing, and coaching the management team is a very personal service, and it differs. So, you know, my disclaimer here, hey, it has been working for us here for a number of years, and we will share it. One of the key things in coaching processes is that regardless of what you as the coach want to do, the client's going to have input. Now, you know, I've never run into the situation where the client has dictated how I should coach. So that's kind of a nice situation, but it isn't uncommon to have the client have some strong feelings about the process and how it should work. And, you know, many times because of their experience, their bias, assumptions, maybe because of their budget, the ideal coaching program or the ideal coaching process doesn't always get implemented. So as we kind of talk about this today, I want to kind of share with you some of my own stories and experiences about how it's been modified. The other thing is that this process is one that I think basically can work in any size company. As the size of the company changes, number of people, then frankly, I think the process becomes, the larger the company, the process becomes more formal. So it's not a different process, but it just becomes a little more formalized. Well, look, just before we get into that, let me just remind you here that as sort of a background for this, that we've been coaching executives and business owners for 19 years under the banner of the Coaching Perspective. And our primary focus is helping teams to become more effective. And we work with both existing and new management teams. We work with project teams. But in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and of the individual members. And we're going to talk about that and why I think that makes a major difference between team building and team coaching. In addition to that, we also offer individual coaching from the top executive to entry-level positions. We coach people who want to sharpen their business skills. And, of course, like every other coach, we have a variety of topics that we do some training on, from communication workshops to time management to delegation and so forth, strategic planning. I'm a master certified coach. I've got my training and certification through the International Coach Federation. I'm a past president of the Orange County chapter, and I take a lot of pride in my involvement in that organization, both nationally and locally. I think it is a great resource. It is a great place to share information with other people and to find out what basically are the best practices today. So, having said that, let's talk about coaching the management team. Team building is all about getting the team to work better together, getting the team to increase its performance. The focus in team building is away from the individual and towards group activity, group interaction, and group dialogue. All of that is part of management, coaching the management team. But coaching the management team, I think, goes far beyond your typical team building exercise. In coaching the management team, just as sort of a groundwork for this discussion, my objective is to identify the individual needs and goals and objectives, and identify the team, company or team, department, division, whatever it is, identify the team goals and objectives, and find a way where the two are congruent, where the two are not fighting each other, but where the individual team members' objectives, career goals, job goals, coincide with the department or company goals. It's my belief that only when they are congruent, when they are working together and not against each other, that you really get top performance from a team. I don't really think that many people have the capability to put their individual objectives, their individual goals and desires to the side and focus totally on the team, at least not for an extended period of time. And when we're talking about the management team, we're talking about not a project team that may be working together for a week or a couple of months. We're talking about a team of people that are going to be together for years. And for that to work effectively, to get the best, highest performance out of that team, you're going to have to identify what the individual needs are and what the team goals are. So, how do we do that? Well, initially, in the initial engagement, I start with one-on-one meetings with each member of the management team, and with a number of assessments that each of them will complete. Now, there's all kinds of assessments out there. Many of them are great assessments. Most of them are good assessments. The ones that I personally like to use is the DISC assessment that not only identifies communication style, but in the newer format also identifies what motivates an individual. And I like to use the Strength Finder, which identifies the top five talents for an individual and then what their strengths are. So using those assessments and then a combination of one-on-one meetings, I want to identify what the individual communication style is, what motivates them, and are those needs being filled in their present position. Now, this motivator topic is one that really does not get touched on often enough. You know, we tend to think that what motivates people is what motivates us. We tend to think in a business environment of the carrot stick kind of thing. If I give you a big bonus, you're going to be motivated to work harder to achieve the company's goals, because achieving those goals is going to be absolutely numerically, you're able to numerically define what that means in your paycheck. But you know what? When we look at people's individual motivators, we find that many of us are not motivated by money, or most of us are not motivated by money alone. So understanding what each individual member of the team, what motivates them, is extremely critical. Not only that the coach understands this and that the team leader understands it, but also that the individual member understands it. It is surprising, or it is amusing to me, to go through the DISC report identifying what motivates people and find that the individual that completed the assessment really never thought about this and is absolutely sort of taken back with the level of detail and information, and in many cases has to really work on it before they can accept it and believe it, because they've just never looked at it. It's so basic. In other words, we wouldn't dream of putting people together to work together if they couldn't communicate, if they had all had a different language and they couldn't understand each other. Putting people together working towards a common goal without understanding what motivates them is the same as putting people together without knowing that they speak the same language. So I think it's really important that this motivator issue be identified. Along with what motivates people is the using the Strength Finder is identifying people's five key talents, those that dominate their in response to the environment, and then determining what are they using currently today as strengths. Most of us, if you've gone through the Strength Finder assessment, you've found that the five talents are not necessarily five strengths that you're using today. In fact, most people generally find that three of the five are strengths of theirs and they're using them, and the other two are sort of dormant talents that could be their strengths if they applied them. So it's really critical to identify what those talents are, which ones are being currently employed and functioning as a strength, and which ones we have sort of in reserve, and how might we use those to further achieving our individual objectives and also to further achieving the team or company objectives. I think one of the really interesting things is to take a group of executives that have been working together for a period of time and have done the Strength Finder assessment and share the results that they have individually with the group and watch members of the group call on the individuals and go, no, that's definitely one of your strengths and you use it all the time. And the individual goes, really? I didn't know that. I never thought about that. Well, maybe you're right. So it's important to know that. Along with that, what you want to identify, or what I want to identify in this interviewing process, is what is each individual's career goals. Now, this may be, this is confidential, and this isn't necessarily shared with the group, because their career goals may not really be consistent with the team leader, the CEO's goals. And that's up to them to deal with it. But in terms of the coaching, I don't know how I could effectively coach if I didn't know where they really wanted to go. So I want to know what their career goals are so that we can incorporate those into the team goals and into their goals in their current job. The other thing that really comes out in this one-on-one interviewing process to identify what the individuals see as their job or their role in the company. It is not surprising to me anymore that when I start an engagement with a company and I go meet with an individual, one of the team individual members, and I have with me the notes I have from the HR department or from the CEO, and I know that I'm meeting with the person who is the director of research or the vice president of sales or whatever, and then find this individual describing their job as being something slightly to totally different than what the CEO saw it as being. And right there is, well, what do you want to say? It's worth the price of the engagement right there. If you all of a sudden, it's one of those aha moments, and you identify that person perceives their job different than the boss perceives their job. Now, in these one-on-one interviews, the goal here is to identify where that disconnect may be, not to do anything about it at this point in time, but at least identify whether there is a congruency there, whether there's a disconnect, to identify where they see themselves, where they'd like to see themselves, and how they see themselves getting there. Once we've kind of done those things as part of the start of the team management, team coaching, we're ready to now have a group meeting. In the group meeting, we will go over the DISC report and the Strength Finder report. The DISC report, both in terms of communication assessment and in terms of the motivators, and we will share, everybody has agreed ahead of time, to share those results with the rest of the management team. And in going through those, it's not just a matter of sharing them, but it's a matter of sharing them, discussing them, and understanding clearly how they impact the individual and the other members of the team. So it's important to know or to use this exercise to enhance the communication and to enhance the understanding of what motivates the people that we work with on a regular daily basis. It also creates, by doing this as a group, it creates sort of a common language for the members of the management team to talk to each other using this sort of new language that they've learned, the DISC language or the Strength Finder language, to describe situations that are going on. Rather than somebody in a meeting identifying somebody else and saying, well, why are you being such a jerk about this? Why are you being so overbearing? Why don't you let somebody else talk? Instead, because they've been through this group understanding of their communication assessments, they might go, hey, Doug, I see your high D showing up right now. It's kind of impacting my high I. What do we need to do about that? And it's a way of sort of calling out a team member without making it personal, without it being judgmental, but just identifying, hey, this is the way you are behaving. Do you realize that this is the way you are communicating? Was that your intent? Or this is the way the person sitting next to you seems to be taking it. You weren't looking at them when you said that. I was. And this is the way they are handling it. So needing to go over the DISC report and the Strength Finder, the communication analysis, and the motivators is to really create a language and to create a safe way for the team members to go forward and sort of self-correct one another in an effort to improve their communication and their understanding of what they're talking about. There is another group meeting that I think is key to starting the management team coaching that has nothing to do with this group meeting that we've been talking about, which is to really review the results of the assessments. What I like to do is sit in on a monthly financial review meeting, a quarterly review meeting, or a strategic planning meeting, some meeting with the management team that has a high level of importance. It's not just a routine kind of, it's Monday, how did things go last week, and what are we going to do different this week? And the reason I want to sit in on that kind of a meeting is to identify who are the leaders in the group. Is the acknowledged or published leader of the group really the leader? And depending on how the meeting's going, does the leadership role pass or change from one individual to another? Too often, I think a lot of let's say team building exercises are geared to the assumption that Jim is the leader. And that may be true on the organization chart, but in dealing with certain kinds of issues, Jim is never the leader. So we want to identify that. The other thing that really becomes very obvious in observing in this group meeting, this strategic group meeting, is it gives me a chance to evaluate the meeting management skills that are being exhibited or displayed by the group. And, you know, it's a given in business today. I don't think I've ever observed, I shouldn't say ever, it's very seldom that I see a live, not a structured, but a live, real management meeting dealing with a current issue that couldn't be done better, couldn't be handled better if the meeting management skills were better understood by the members of the group and the leader of the group. So this meeting gives me a chance to evaluate, not from so much of a coaching perspective, but from a management perspective, how well are the meetings being managed? How well is the leader doing it? How well do the participants understand the meeting management skills that are needed to have a good meeting? This then creates a basis for doing some coaching going forward. The other thing that I think is absolutely critical, and if there was no other reason to sit in on this meeting other than this one, this would justify it, and that is identifying what is the change in individual communication styles when they get into a group. You know, it's one thing to look at somebody's DISC report. It's one thing to sit and spend a couple of hours with them. It's one thing to sit and listen to how they work with their subordinates. But to then contrast how they behave in the management meeting, the management team meeting, is a total different situation in many cases. Because, you know, I have seen it time and time again that a manager or key executive is a thoughtful, considerate, good listener, encourages group participation when he's dealing with his subordinates, his or her subordinates. But when he walks down the hall and steps into the upper management meeting, all of a sudden the Jekyll and Hyde situation comes up, and this well-meaning, good listener, considerate individual becomes a real pain in the way the meeting is being handled. And many times it's because of past baggage that's being carried along. So this is, in my opinion, the 800-pound gorilla that's in the room needs to be coached. It's the group dynamics that get created that aren't there when you deal with these people individually. And those group dynamics can only be coached in a group environment, online, real time, because you can't go back to the office of the individuals that were in the meeting and coach them about something that went on in this meeting because they just don't see it. It just isn't there. So to me, that is the one of the key things to really improve the management effectiveness is to coach the management meeting dynamics real time as they are happening. And this is something that is really critical to get squared away with the client. And sometimes the clients don't understand this. I mean, I think my most successful corporate engagements have been those where the CEO, who usually runs the meeting, is perfectly comfortable with me in the middle of a problem-solving discussion saying, can we take a time out and do I have a coaching observation that I would like to make. And then for me to offer up from a coaching point of view what I see going on in the room to lay the foundation of this is the observations, is this what you want, how do you think it should be, and then sort of leading that discussion by the group from a coaching perspective of solving that dynamic or that particular issue. And then going back to the problem solving. But you have to go offline, put the problem on hold, and devote some time to the coaching of what's going on. This is a difficult thing for many executives to agree to. When they're in the middle of solving a problem, they don't like somebody raising their hand saying, hey, time out, let's just set that $1 million issue aside for 5 minutes and talk about what's happening in the room. You know, there is this sort of A-type personality that wants to bull its way past the disagreements, the sensitivity, the withdrawal or the aggression that's going on in the room and just deal with going to the heart of solving the problem. And this is where we have to take that time out and go offline and deal with the issue. Once we've had this, we've gone through three steps here. I mean, three major steps, the one-on-one individual meetings to sort of set up who we're coaching, the communication styles, the motivators, then the DISC thing. We've had the second meeting where we educated the group as to each other's communication styles and motivators and behavior and strengths. And we've had the third element, which was the group meeting, to look at the dynamics of the group and be able to contrast those to what we have learned about the individuals and how their individual styles change when they are in this group, how this group has made them into something different. At this point, it's critical to go back and revisit with either the CEO who is engaged you for the coaching or whoever is in charge of the coaching here. It's important to go back and revisit what was the agreed upon issue for bringing the coach in to begin with. You know, do the original state of objectives for the coaching agreement still match with what you have observed and what the CEO has now observed through this additional knowledge, information, assessments, and observations? You know, is there a real buy-in as to what's going on? You know, it was, I think, one of the most disappointing engagements for me, but in some ways successful, was one where I was working with a new company. We went through the one-on-one interviews with the individual senior managers. There was quite a number of them. We had the group meeting, and we shared, and we really increased the awareness of each other's communication styles. People later on reported back how much better they were communicating now that they understood each other's differences and stopped taking it as a personal sort of thing. We gave them a new language to talk about in a way that was non-judgmental. We had a group meeting where it was identified that there were certain meeting management skills that needed that were missing, and there was training that was needed to develop those. We identified that the in this particular case, the real leader of the group for most of the discussions was not the stated leader of the group, that the stated leader sort of always stepped back and let this other person take charge of it. And then when all that was done, and I then met back with the CEO, the owner of the company in this particular case, to go, okay, now the reason that you engaged me in the coaching here was because you realized that you were not allowing people to take more ownership, to take responsibility, that you didn't delegate well, that they didn't pick up and handle their responsibility, and that basically we were going to coach you as the owner of the company to be more sensitive to delegating and including others, and we are going to coach the senior executives to be more aggressive in stepping up and taking charge. Right? That's what we agreed upon. That's why we engaged in this coaching assignment, and now we've done all the pre-work. Is that still our objective? And to my surprise, the owner of the company identified, you know what? I'm not willing to step back. I know I should do it, but what you've made me realize is I'm really not going to change. I really have no desire to change. It was something that I was told I should do. The seminars I went to said I should do it, but you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm happy with things the way they are. Thanks a lot. You've helped us in some other areas, but we're not going to go any further with this. Wow. Was I shocked? Was I disappointed? But, you know, the interesting thing was in the one-on-one interviews that I had with the senior executives, they pretty much questioned the intent of the coaching engagement right from the beginning. Their statement was, he isn't going to change. Why are we doing this? And I have to respect the owner of the company for standing up and saying, you know, this is this may be a popular way to manage. It may not be a popular opinion within the company, but this is who I am, what I am, and it's what works for me, and we're going to continue to do this. So sometimes the outcome, when you go back and revisit the problem and redefine it, isn't what you as the coach, maybe even what the client really thought it was going to be. I think the more typical situation that I run into, that was certainly way on the far right end of extremes, but the more typical is a redefining of the problem, a fine-tuning of, hey, this is what we want to be coached on, and a buy-in by the CEO, and then take it back to the group and revisit, this is what we're doing, this is why the coach is in the company, this is what the objectives are going to be, this is what we're going to work on, this is the time frame that we've allocated for it. Are you all in agreement? I want to say now you're ready to start coaching the management team, but in effect, in many cases, what you've just done is 50% of the engagement. I don't mean necessarily 50% of the time you're going to spend in this company, but I'm going to say that what you've done at this point is 50% of the value, because it builds the foundation, and without it, you really can't go any further. You've now created an understanding and awareness, and what happens now is the real coaching is about taking this intellectual understanding and changing daily behaviors and habits through regular systematic coaching. So, you know, you can't change anything if you haven't identified what you're going to change, and that's what's taken place here. The next step is basically to set the timetable and the program, define what you're going to do, define what group sessions is the coaching going to be involved in, what's going to be the relationship of the coach in these group sessions, Is the coach going to be strictly an observer? Is the coach going to be a participant? Is the coach going to give a report card at the end of the meeting, or is the coach going to give a private review? You know, I think one of the very productive situations I had with the CEO was, and this was a long-term coaching assignment, and every month I would sit in on their financial review meeting and a visit of the strategy of the company and the various departments and going forward, and whether the overall strategy was still valid or whether current situations had caused it to be revisited. But one of the things the CEO always did was at the end of every one of these meetings, he and I had a meeting immediately afterwards in his office, strictly for the purpose of him getting feedback on how he did in terms of communicating, managing the meeting, listening to the issues, and being clear about the direction. Now, for him, this was 90% of the value of the coaching, because there was no place else that he could get that kind of independent evaluation. And it wasn't that his direct reports weren't honest, well-meaning people, but hey, they worked for there was a certain bias, either in their willingness to be bluntly honest, or there was a bias in their observation because it was colored by what they thought should happen in the meeting based on their needs, their goals, their department, their division, their bonus, whatever. So this was a great opportunity for the CEO to get, on a regular monthly basis, immediate direct feedback right then, right after the meeting, as to how he did and how it went. In almost all of the engagements that we do with management teams, one of the things that is that we follow up that monthly group meeting with individual coaching sessions. They may be phone coaching sessions. They may be one-on-one. A lot of it has to do strictly with logistics and where people are and how easy it is for them to meet. One of the, and it may be that this is a once a month, it may be this is a twice a month, it may be weekly, again, depending upon where we are in the coaching engagement. It may not be the same for every member of the management team. Some of them may be twice a month. Some of them may feel like they benefit more from regular weekly coaching. Some may want a half hour once a week. Others want 2 hours once, 2 one-hour sessions each month. Again, it's a matter of meeting the individual requirements. But one of the givens that was agreed upon at the start of the management team coaching was that the start of each one of these sessions will be a review of how that individual functioned in the management team meeting. The coach's feedback, impartial feedback, of what the coach observed going on in the management and how that could be improved or worked upon to enhance the results of the team and to better position that individual in achieving their own goals. So, you know, client dictates what you're going to talk about, but the client, also meaning the company, dictates that, hey, we're going to start each meeting with a review of the overall objectives of the coaching assignment and the immediate feedback of what went on in that group meeting. In a few cases, actually the group called for a report card at the end of each meeting as a group session. That before the meeting was adjourned, it was, okay, last item on the agenda is we're turning to the coach sitting at the table and going, okay, coach, how did the meeting go? And this is not an evaluation of the decisions that were made, but an evaluation of the process, the interaction, and the way in which people functioned as a team. That's pretty much what management coaching is all about. It certainly involves team building, creating a team spirit, cohesive direction, understanding of where we want to go. But it certainly involves a lot more than that. And I've really kind of focused here on the setup of the management team coaching, individual coaching, more than I focused on the individual coaching, because I think any coaches listening understand how to coach an individual. But I think this front-end work to structure what the coaching assignment is all about is something that sometimes gets shortchanged. Many times I find the client going, well, okay, I see your proposal. Why don't we cut out some of these assessments? Why don't we cut out some of this one-on-one survey meetings that you're going to do with everybody? How much would that cut out of the fee? And then we can get going a lot quicker. I just don't feel any longer that I would take an assignment under those kinds of conditions. Early in my career, I did a couple of those. They didn't turn out well. There wasn't the basic groundwork that was needed to really do the in-depth coaching that would create breakthrough performance, create significant differences in the way in which the team functioned. And the kinds of things that we were looking for was better cooperation, a better group decision-making, shorter meetings, clear goals stated, accountability. I mean, you know, all the things that we all know that we want to get. So that's really what I have to say about coaching the management team today. I hope this has been of some help to you. And as we are kind of getting ready to sign off here, I would certainly appreciate any comments you have on this. Feel free to drop a line to me. Go to my blog, make a comment. I'll post a, sort of a summary of this by Monday, and we'll also have the podcast up by Monday or early Tuesday morning, and you can listen to it again, and you can comment on those and send an email and do it. Our objective here is really to give you information that can help you to make better, more informed decisions, to give you new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. And that's what this management team coaching is all about. It's about identifying what is really needed from an individual basis, team basis, and how do we work to achieve those two goals together. So I hope you've enjoyed today's conversation and that it has given you information that you can put to work right away. Be sure to tune in next week. We'll be back on the air again. 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon, and we will have a new guest for you to listen to talking about coaching. So Doug Gefeller, wishing you the best, and I'm hoping that you've got information that you can identify and achieve your goals in a productive way. Thank you.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with your host, Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.